Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
It's been a minute since I've been in the pulpit. I really missed you all. Pastor Barry and I are shifting off a bit, so I take a couple of weeks, and he's going to take a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be in, and he's going to be in, and it's just a surprise. It's a surprise. You just never know who's going to show up on a Sunday morning. This morning, I feel like, have you watched a movie more than once? Any of you? Got a movie that you've run through a few times? Well, that's kind of how I feel this morning. I might have run through this a couple of times, and I might have run through this like not too long ago. So you're going to be saying, Pastor, did you forget you already did this? I didn't forget I already did it. I just can't get away from it. So I'm going to give it to you again. And which isn't a bad thing, because sometimes do we need to hear something more than once? I know as a kid I needed to hear something more than once. It was like put away your shoes, hang up your coat, make your bed more than once. I had to hear that more than once. So maybe we need to hear the Word of God more than once for it to sink in. So I want to speak to you today out of 2 Colossians. So we know that Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this. He's in chains for the Lord Jesus when he wrote to the church in Colossae. And Colossae wasn't a big city. It wasn't like Rome or even Ephesus or Philippi. It was a very moderately sized place. And it wasn't a big important city. But he starts off and he says, I want you to know how much I have, and here's the word that hangs us up, agonized. Agonized for you. I want you to think about the last time you agonized over something. That's a strong word, agonized. It's like, I can think of the last time I agonized over something. I can picture myself agonizing. Can you picture yourself agonizing? It means you are, I would say, you can be bent over, doubled up, just hurting so badly. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea. Now, Laodicea, the church there, we know from the book of Revelation written by St. John, that it was a church that had gone cold. It was a church that had gone lukewarm. It was a lukewarmish church. Now this church here in Colossae had come under some false teaching and false doctrine that it was taking on as the truth. And Paul says, I'm in agony over this. That should agonize us if a church walks away from the Word of God and is teaching false doctrine and the truth is not coming from the pulpit. We should be in agony. That would cause agony. For many other, and he said, I'm in agony for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. Can you imagine being in agony for somebody you've never even met? I've been in agony over people that I love dearly who are suffering. I'm in agony for them. When they suffer, I suffer. When your loved one suffers. You are in agony for them. But imagine being in agony for someone you've never even met. This was Paul. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. He's thinking of this church. He's church. I want you to be knit together with strong ties of love. That's what we want in this church. In this church, we would agonize that we would be knit together with strong ties of love, that nothing could come against us, but that we would be knit together with strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. He's agonizing that they really understand the gospel, that they really understand that Christ can come and live in you. That's worth agonizing over. It is agony to think that somebody does not know Jesus Christ can come and live in them. That is agonizing. So now we're starting to get the message that Paul is bringing. He said, in Christ Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you need wisdom and knowledge in your life, you need Jesus. You need a lot of Jesus. You need to be filled, overflowing with Jesus. All of us need wisdom and knowledge. That means all of us need Jesus. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. So this church had come under some well-crafted arguments that had shifted their faith. They started to worship knowledge. They were Gnostic. And rather than acknowledging Jesus Christ, they started to worship worldly knowledge. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you were living as you should, and your faith in Christ is strong. He's in agony for those who are not staying strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. The Foursquare Church says, following Jesus together. That's how you sign off, following Jesus together. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here. We're all following Jesus together. We're all going in the same direction. We all have the same beliefs. I believe, you have Christ in you, I have Christ in me. We're united, we're knit together, we're tied up together. You're stuck with each other. That's just the way it is. You're just stuck with each other, and that's a good thing. Let your roots grow down into him. So, you know, if you're gardening, you know that roots grow down deep. Then you're planted. You are planted. When your roots grow down really deep, you're not moving around. It says, don't go anywhere. Don't go away from this. Stay in this. Stay here with this. Don't go away. And let your lives be built on him. There's a number of things we can build our lives on, can't we? We can build our lives on our job. We can build our lives on our family. We can build our lives on all kinds of things that the world has to offer. But it says, build your lives on Jesus Christ. That's worth thinking about. What would it look like if my life was built on Jesus Christ? What would that look like as compared to what my life is like right now? It said, then your faith will grow strong. So when your life is built on Jesus Christ and your roots grow down deep into him, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So people who are thankful, people who are rooted and planted and their roots go down really, really deep, what have they got? Thankfulness. They are thankful. They are being fed from these roots that come up right from the faith right all the way through. And they are filled with thankfulness. They're walking about in thankfulness. If you're walking about in negativity and miserable, and maybe your roots have not gone down deep enough. Maybe you're not planted in the right place. Don't let anyone capture you. Don't let anybody take you prisoner. Don't let anybody tie you up. Don't let anybody capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world. There's spiritual powers in this world that are going after you. And they don't want you following Jesus. They want you following them. And they will offer you all kinds of different things. And it says, don't get captive. Don't get taken captive by that stuff. Don't get taken captive by the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. All the fullness of God, who created the universe, the skies, the seas, the mountains, the trees. Everything came down into one man filled with the fullness of God. That's the one. That's the one that we're going to follow. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. So we get to be complete. I want to be complete. I don't want to be a half a person walking around. I want to be a complete person so I can be complete in Jesus Christ. Through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. There is no ruler, there is no authority, there is no king, there is no power higher than Jesus Christ. None. There might be some that think they are, and they are not. News for them, they are not. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. That's kind of shocking news to us. We were, say what? Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, which was the cutting away of your sinful nature. How many of you know that we had a sinful nature? Anybody ever met their sinful nature? Anybody seen a little bit of sin rolling around in themselves? How many of you here might be super glad that it can be cut out? I'm super glad that I don't have to live with that sinful nature in me, that it can be cut out of me. That is good news. If you don't hear it, that's good news this morning to hear. I can have that sinful nature cut right out of me. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life. You got a new life. When you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, a new thing happened in you. That old sinful nature got cut out of you, got removed from you, and a new life came to you because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. We just want to be in Jesus. We want to be following Jesus. We want him to cut away our sinful nature. We want a new life. We want to live a full and beautiful life with him. You were dead. How many of you know that you already died? You were dead. I was dead. I've been dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. You are sitting here forgiven. All your sins, think of them all. You can't think of them all at once. You probably take you a year to think of them all. Or is that only me? That's only me? Come on, church, don't leave me out here to dry. Think of all the sins that you've committed. There's some I'd like to forget. He canceled the record of charges against us. Okay, have you ever, I'm sure none of you have been to court here, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular. There was charges on a piece of paper written against you. This is what you're being charged with. And what it tells us here is that he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it from the cross. So he came up to you and he said, give me those charges, Jacob, long. Okay. And he took them away and he nailed them. They got nailed on the cross with Jesus. Amen. You don't have them on you anymore. They were taken away from you. Oh, canceled the record of charges against us. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. There are spiritual rulers and authorities on this earth who have weapons fashioned against you. And they want to come against you. You know what Jesus did? He disarmed them. He took away the weapons that were pointed at you. If there was a gun at your head from the enemy, Jesus has taken his weapon away. He has disarmed those spiritual powers that were coming against you. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Some of us have felt the pain of the weapons that the enemy has had against us. And we have suffered consequences for the things that he has done against us. He shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. He made them look like fools. Because when they come against you now, they can't touch you. Why can't they touch you? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is on you. They can't touch you. Doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to touch you, but they can't touch you. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or not celebrating certain holidays. This is just all religion. This is all religion. Don't get caught up in this stuff or celebrating holidays, new moon, Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Oh, they put all these things in place that make right living. Oh, you should do this and you should do that. That's just a shadow of what Jesus is going to do. And Christ himself is that reality. There's a reality that's going to come. That is Jesus Christ is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. Oh, you shouldn't do that because you're a Christian, and you shouldn't do this because you're a Christian. Don't let anybody do that. And don't let them come and say, oh, I worship of angels, and saying that they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they're not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. There's only one place where we grow. There's only one way to grow, and it's in Jesus Christ. We don't grow by being religious. You don't grow by holding a special Sabbath. You don't grow by reading your Bible 24 hours a day. You don't, that's not a bad thing to do, but that's not where spiritual growth comes. The spiritual growth comes from Jesus Christ all through his body into our body. Thank you, Jesus, for nourishing us. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. We got to get that settled in our minds. We've been set free from the spiritual powers of this world. Our children have been set free. Thank God that you bring your children to church. They are set free from the spiritual powers of this world. The world can't touch them. They are protected in Jesus. Smartest thing you ever did is you get up in the morning and you drag your kid to church. What's that old saying? A child brought up in the church is seldom brought up in court. Right? They got brought up in church. They're not going to get brought up in court. The spiritual powers of darkness can't touch those kids. So why do you keep on following rules of the world, such as, oh, don't handle that, don't taste that, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. That's not going to stop you from desiring evil. What stops you from desiring evil is Jesus Christ alive in you. His spirit, his power in you, not you. That's a battle you don't want to fight alone. That's a battle Jesus can fight for you. Jesus, fight this battle for me. I'm not up to it. He is. So we sort of talked about the past. Now, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, okay, so we have come to Christ. He has circumcised us. He has taken away our sinful nature. We've been baptized. We've raised up to new life. Well, since this has happened, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Set your sights on heaven. You know where our sights are? Our sights are all on this earth. We're always looking around at the next thing on earth, the next thing, And he says, don't be looking around here. Look there. Keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on what's coming. Keep your eyes on heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's a challenge for us today, to get our heads out of the things of earth and start thinking about heaven. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You got a real life. Your real life. I know that your life right here feels like your real life. I want to tell you, the life you're living right here isn't your real life. Does that make sense? What's happening here isn't our real life. Our real life is yet to come. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. When he comes and he says, I'm here, we're there with him going, we're here too. We're with him. We get to share in the glory. So put to death. Okay, there's some things that just got to die. Any of you know there's some things that just got to die? Some things, when they die, it's a good thing when they die. Here we go. So put to death the sinful earthly things. Here's another interesting word. Lurking. Lurking is a creepy word. There is some sinful things that might be lurking within you. Have nothing to do. Here we go. Here's some things that got to die. Sexual immorality. Got to die. Sex is a wonderful thing that God created between a man and a woman. It's beautiful, beautiful. And the world has corrupted it to make it something that it isn't. Sexual immorality, have nothing to do with impurity. Lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. A greedy person is worshiping something else other than Jesus. Their eyes are looking at the money or the car or the thing. Don't be a greedy person. Worshiping the things of this world. Let's not worship the things of this world. Some of us are guilty of that from time to time. Worshiping the things of this world. That's got to die. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. I'm telling you, we really got to get out of this world. But now is the time to get, here's a really rough one. Get rid of anger. Anybody here need some anger to die off of them? Just me again? Okay. You guys are really throwing me under the bus today, you know? Get rid of anger. Get rid of rage. get rid of rage, malicious behavior, slander, and here's a doozy, dirty language, cussing. Colleen, you just wait. I'm not pointing the eye, you know. Colleen would just like to confess this morning before the church, and I can testify. We can all testify from time to time. Colleen can really let one slip. We want that to die. We just really want that to die. And you know, it's just not okay to just keep the foul language out of the church. I want to say keep the foul language out of your life. Amen. Out of your life, off of Facebook, off of social media. Keep it off of social media. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm not quite done with that one yet. I'm not quite done. There's more to be said about that. Don't lie to each other. That's a good one. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature, remember, in all its wicked deeds. Put on, there's a new thing we can put on. Put on your new nature. Yes, we got a new part. We got some new coming on. I got a new dress. You got a new garment. You got a new robe. Put it on and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We're going to become like Him. Who wants to become like Jesus? I do. I am so sick of becoming like me. I don't want to be me. I really don't want to be me. I am really frustrated with me. But I really want to be like Jesus. And that means getting rid of that old sinful nature. It just needs to die. I'd be glad to bury it. I'll meet you at the cemetery, and all of us will bring our old sinful nature, and we'll dig a big hole and put all of our old sinful nature in there, and we're just going to... Come on. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. It doesn't matter, woman, man, barbaric, civilized. All that matters is Jesus, because we don't matter. We don't matter. When the worship team is up there, I just got to say, they don't matter. Amen. When I'm up here, I don't matter. All that matters is Christ. I'm just a vessel to bring. Open the Word of God. Open the Word of God and read it to you. Right? I'm reading you the Word of God. I don't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus and His Word to you. When they're singing a song, you don't matter. What matters is you singing about Jesus. That matters. You don't matter. He matters. And He lives in all of us. That's all. We should be... We need to get in agony. We need to get in agony for the people that don't have Him living in them. We need some agony going on. Maybe we could even pray that. God, give me some agony. Okay, maybe that's a bad prayer. God, I want to be in agony for those people who don't know you. I should be in agony for the people who don't know you, because it is awful to think that they're going through stuff that I'm going through, that you're going through, and they don't know Jesus. That should cause us some agony. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, okay, I just want you to let that sit on you. Isn't it amazing that He called you? He called you here today. He's called your name. And for some reason, I always say, God, I don't know why you revealed yourself to me. That seems really crazy. There's people that are a lot nicer and smarter and prettier, funnier than me. How come you revealed yourself to me? How come? I look around and I think, I'm so glad He revealed Himself to you. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with. Okay, now this is what our new garment looks like. So this is what our new suit, our new dress looks like. We just put the old one down, right? The filthy one and the language and the sexual immorality. That's gone. He says, now put on this one. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness. You know, we can wear a shirt. Just be kind. Just be kind. It's funny we have to put that on a t-shirt. You would think it would be natural for us to be kind. Actually, it's not. Surprisingly enough, there's a lot of unkindness in this world. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Put it on. Memorize those things that you're supposed to put on. And in the morning when you're getting dressed, you can say, God, I'm here to put on my tender-hearted mercy. Lord, I want to put on my kindness. Now I'm putting on my humility. And now I'm putting on my patience. Because we got to remember those things that we got to put on, that we're going to walk around with it. make allowance for other people's faults. Ugh. That is so hard. But we're supposed to make an allowance for that. I'll give it to you. I'll make an allowance for you. And forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Because you're forgiven. That just makes sense. That just makes sense. You've been forgiven? So what are you going to do? Going, I'm going to forgive you. I've been forgiven. Therefore, I forgive you. That's what I'm going to put on. I'm going to put on forgiveness. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Put that on. Put that on. And then above all, when the scripture says above all, that means above all. More important than anything else, above everything else, at the top of everything else, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it doesn't keep your... I'm telling you, when you're 16 years old and you're looking at the cutest girl in bio class and you say, I love you, you better be pulling up, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's keeping your neck. You better be quoting that to yourself, because love is a lot more complicated than what you think it is, right? So let's remember that we say, I love you. What you're really committing to them is all of those things. Patient, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, you could do all of those things. Which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. You know what should be ruling in our life? Peace. I should be ruled by peace, not by selfish ambition, not by greed, not by, I should be ruled. The rule that I live by is peace. Because God says that Christ is our peace. So we should be ruled by peace. And if you're not being ruled by peace, have a look at what's going on. Let's just not come to the word and look at the word and go away and forget the word. Let's look at the word and tell the word, convict me, Lord. Why am I not living in peace? Have a look. For members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always. Always means always. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. There's a lot of things that can fill your life. Money can fill your life, your job can fill your life, your family can fill your life. What's supposed to fill your life? Wow, is the message of Christ is supposed to fill my life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom you give. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Okay, now this is where I'm going to pause here. I'm going to pause here for a minute. I'm going to go back to the dirty language part. Colleen, are you paying attention? No, I'm sorry. I wouldn't be making fun of you except you volunteered yourself. You confessed yourself. She repented her sins. And, yeah, right on. There you go. Whatever you do, okay, let's really hear this, church. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep. I just want to pause on that for a minute. I remember my dad when I was little, he was fairly strict with us, but he would say to us, you step outside this house, you are representing this family. You are representing the family name. And so how you behave at school, how you behave in the community, how you behave everywhere, don't you bring shame back on this family. Anybody else ever get a talk like that from their parent? If you... Yes, that's true. You are representing your family. The way that you are parented when you go out and the way that you behave in public reflects upon your family. The way that we go out and speak and act and behave in public, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. So when you are out in the world, Christian, and you're driving your car like a maniac, and you're hanging out the door and you're shaking your fist and you're yelling at somebody and you got a fish on the back of your car, you are representing Jesus Christ. And you might want to have a change of that behavior, right? If you're on social media and people know that you attend Cornerstone Church and you let a whole string of cuss words out on your social media, you are representing this church. And you are representing Jesus Christ. So we know we are not supposed to speak like that. And we don't speak like that because we have Jesus Christ living in us. And all Lord's people said, amen. Because we are representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, we're not going to get too deep into this because we could talk about it for a long time. But we're just going to accept it as God's word. Wives, submit to your husbands. Uh-oh. Ladies, just relax. Just relax. Everybody just take a breath here. Back in the 70s, I'm telling you, this was worth a fight in the congregation. If you stood up and you're telling some 70s woman, is she going to have to submit to her husband? It's like, oh, yeah. We don't need to fight over this. The head of the household is the husband. That's just the way it is. The research has been done. I tried it. He's actually the head of the household. He's head of the household. And so I'm just going to, wives, submit to your husbands. And God and I had several years where we fought that a little bit. And I lost, and I found out that my husband is my covering. And do you know how grateful I am for the covering that I have? I am so safe. You know how bad it is out there without him? It's really nice to have a covering over top of you. He is your covering. You come underneath him. He is the final authority. That's just the way it is, ladies. Don't get mad at me. You just have a chat with God. You have a chat with God. But the next line is really encouraging, ladies, because it said, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Do you know how easy it is to submit to love? Yeah. I submit to love. What? My husband takes care of me. He's my covering over me. He protects me, and he never treats me harshly. Thank you, God. I am safe under that. I'm safe under that. God had a really good plan. He didn't want me out there fighting the war with my husband behind me. Oh, I got you, sweetie. I got this one. I'm glad that I have that covering and that protection, and I am happy to submit to love. It is so easy to submit to love. Children, this is one you want to have engraved on your children's wall. It says, children, always obey your parents. Oh, yeah. Preach it, sister. I'll just say that again.
Don't, we're good.
Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Not only does it please the Lord, it makes parents happy, right? So let's just screenshot that. Fathers, now it's interesting. There's no advice in here for mothers. Isn't that interesting? There's wives. He talks to the wives. Mm-hmm. He talks to husbands. He talks to the children. Then he talks to fathers, and he doesn't say one word about mothers. I was like, hey, God. Fathers, do not aggravate your children.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
It does. Don't. And I think that's interesting. And I think, why? He didn't say mothers don't aggravate your children. But, you know, I think there's something in a dad. I think there's something in a dad that can aggravate their kid because the dad is the guy who pushes. Right? Mom says, oh, honey, it's okay. And dad says, it's not okay. You get your room clean. He brings down the law. He's saying what's going on. And, put your kid in line, but don't aggravate him. But he doesn't say anything to moms because we go, it's probably okay, you know. Dad say, you pull up your socks and you do as you're told. We should wait till your father gets home. So, I use that line more than once. I don't think yet. Probably once he raised a hand against them. Probably once that I can. I think Lisa got one spanking and you deserved it. You really. Didn't you only get one spanking in your life? And I think your brother got one. The other one we couldn't catch. If he could have caught Michael, he'd have got more than one. Lisa only got one because she didn't deserve it. And Sean, I don't know how he escaped with only one. He's the youngest, yeah. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Let's just not argue they're slaves. Let's just hear what this says here. Try to please them. So whoever it is who you are working for, whose authority you're under, try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. We don't want to be the kind of guy, city workers, we don't want to be the kind of guy that only works when somebody's watching us. We want to be faithful. We want to be work hard, whether anybody's, do it as unto the Lord. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working, there you go, for the Lord. rather than for people. Whatever you do, wherever you're doing it, do the very best you can. And don't worry about the boss. Worry about, I'm serving the Lord here. Wherever you're working, I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to do my very best job for the Lord. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance. You might think you're working for a salary, but it says here you're working for an inheritance from the Lord. And that your master you are serving is Christ. The guy you're working for is Christ. I go to work, I might have a boss. Pretty evident in my job who my boss is. A little bit different if you're in an office. So it's pretty clear to all of us who my boss is. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. Masters. Then he talks to the guys now he's talking to the boss. Be just and fair to your slaves and remember that you also have a master in heaven. So you might think you're the big boss. You got a bigger boss. And you just want to be pleasing him. Now, okay, I'm coming to the part right now, and I've been stuck. I'm stuck on this. I've been stuck on it. If you've been around me, I've been talking about it. This drives me nuts. Devote yourselves to prayer. Wow. I hit a wall. I am devoted to my husband. I am devoted to my family. I am devoted to my church. I am devoted to Jesus Christ. That all makes sense. That all makes sense. And then there's one more I'm supposed to be devoted to. Prayer. Devote. Does that make anybody else go, yikes? Maybe I need to get out my day timer and have a look where my time is good. What would your life look like if you devoted yourself to prayer? I'm telling you, I'm so stuck on that. So I've been praying, God, I pray to devote myself to prayer. Here I am devoting myself to prayer. I'm still praying here. I'm so devoted to prayer, and I know I'm not there yet. Is that okay with you that I can confess to you that I am not devoted? Do I pray? Oh, I pray every day. I pray every day. Sometimes I pray all day. Sometimes I drive past where I'm going because I'm praying so much. Sometimes I'm in the shower so long, honeybee is knocking at the door saying, you okay in there? Yeah, I'm praying. Am I devoted? Are you? Is that a good question for us to walk with? Devote yourself to prayer. Here's another one, with an alert mind. So we're supposed to pray with an alert mind. Why do you have to be alert in prayer? I can tell you why you have to be alert in prayer. Because God might want to say something to you. And if you are not alert, you are not going to hear what he is saying to you. You have to be paying attention because he's talking. Sometimes it's just us. Blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. Poor God, he can't get a word in edgewise. Be alert in prayer so that you can hear him when he is answering your prayer. He will be giving you direction, and if you are not alert, you are not going to hear what he says. So the other thing is I'm supposed to have is a thankful heart while I'm praying. So that it starts out thankful, but praying. And he says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Pray that I will proclaim this message clearly as I should. That's something that we can all pray. God, I pray that I can proclaim this message clearly as I should. You know what I did? I did that. Why am I confessing? Colleen, your bad influence on me. Now I'm going to confess my sin right before the whole church. There is somebody that I want to come to Jesus so bad. Oh, I'm not quite in agony, but I'm really close. So I said to God in prayer, I said, God, I pray for an opportunity. Oh, God, just give me an opportunity to talk to this girl about Jesus. I prayed that. And then one day, I had just made myself so comfortable. I can't tell you how comfortable I was. The sun was warm, but it wasn't too warm. I was sitting part in the sun, part in the shade. I had just opened my Bible. And I was just about to devote myself to prayer. Wow. came up to me and said, "Would you like to go for a walk with me?" And I said, "No." I said, "No. No, thank you. Not right now." And she said, "Oh, okay." And then she wandered away. And when I looked at her wandering away, I went, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Then I pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. See how I can't get out of Colossians because I haven't grown up enough yet to get out of Colossians. Let your conversation be gracious. Let your conversation, the words that come out of your mouth, be gracious so that you will have the right response for everyone. How about that for a word this morning? How about that? Now, I'm going to close. Have faith. I am going to stop talking soon. I'm going to close with the prayer that's in Colossians in the first chapter. And I've talked to you about it before. And if you want to devote yourselves to prayer, this is one of the most powerful prayers that you can pray. And I want you to highlight it. I want you to write it down in your journal. I want you to, like, serious, this is homework. I'm not kidding. I need it. You need it. And I'm going to say this prayer. And this is right out of, this is what Paul was praying. And it's in Colossians 1:9. He says, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you." And here's the prayer. "I ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will." I ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm praying that over you this morning. I am asking that each one of you seated here, that is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for you if you are in this church. This is what I have been praying for you. I'm going to pray it again. I ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. How powerful is that? And you write that, and you can write it in the first person. I pray that you will give me. You pray that for yourself. You pray that for your family. You pray that for your kids, your neighbors. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. All the Lord's people said, amen. Right? We can write that prayer down. Memorize that prayer. Pray it over yourself.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.